Empowerment. The empowerment from above, following on from talking about a scripture that Paul wrote to Timothy and said, you have not received, or God has not given you, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of an ordered mind. We did the ordered mind. We did the love. That's the emotional disposition that God wants you to have, knowing you're loved, etc. And then the empowerment that God wants to give our lives. We touched on it, but I'd like to now go further into this morning before we have communion. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. That's our position. That's from where our empowerment comes. With him. So it's from him and through him and with him. So what does God do through us and to others? What's the doing thing that you need power for? He does what is loving, true, and just. And he disciplines our will for the saving of our soul and for the blessing of other people. So, being empowered, having power, means sharing in God's power through us to do those things. But in order for that to happen, our soul has to have a will, and we've got to make the kinds of decisions that are unselfish, that will bring blessing to other people. And also, on the way, bring a real blessing to us as our life's in order. So there's the mind that gets our thoughts in order about who am I. There is our emotional disposition, which lets us know how we feel all the time about life, about ourselves. But then there's the will that decides what to do. And this is the will part that is deciding what to do. And the will can decide it wants to do wonderful things. But there's part of us, no matter how good the intentions are, that it's called the separated self or the flesh. The Bible calls it sometimes the old man, the old anthropos man, the old Adam, still in us. That wants to do its own thing. That part in us that wants to just have its own way, its own will. But we know that there is a life of Jesus in us that is ready to do the will of the Father. So the will has to somehow switch lanes. And that's the healing of the will. So our will needs to be disciplined to make tough decisions. Are tough for us. It could mean decisions that are tough for other people too, to bring order into somebody else's life. It can be called tough love, if you like. You know what I'm saying? It's loving, but it's real, because you want a person's will to be able to act responsibly. So this saves our soul. This is the part that allows us to do what has to be done in life for the blessing. So it's saving our soul, and it's for the blessing of other people, but it's also for our own personal blessing. There are consequences of having an ordered mind and an emotional disposition of loving trust in God. There's consequences to that, and a surrendered will that release blessings in our lives. Life seems to happen better. then those things are in order. We have the life of Jesus within us and the Holy Spirit to prompt us on how to stay in harmony with that good will of the Father. They didn't have that before Jesus came. If only they could have thought of some kind of set of rules or something that would sort of get the soul in its right disposition. Well, they did. They happened to come up with the law, the Ten Commandments, which God gave to his children in order to get their will in order and their mind in order about the truth and their emotional disposition into a place of thanksgiving for being forgiven and having mercy upon their lives that were so messed up. So, yes, God did give guidelines, but it's only since Jesus that he gave us himself to live within us. But our will still needs to be disciplined in order to go into that lane. So as we do that, we become a release for the blessing of other people, because there is a loving way of God able to work through us, and truth and justice. Proverbs 3:9 says, honour God with everything you own, give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst, your wine vats will brim over. In other words, he's saying, you honour God and there'll be consequences of goodness in your life. You think, what, is that a bribe? No, it's just like we were talking about before. When you worship God, something happens to your soul where you can trust somebody and you actually know that you don't have to be anxious anymore. That's the blessing. Then you make the kind of decisions that have order to them, and wow, look at this. Things went right. The business went well. There weren't as many fights. What's been going on? How come these miracles happen? Well, just bear in mind that you were obedient. You actually started to get on track with the mind and the ways of God and things. Yes, the consequences are you got blessed. That's not bribery. It's just a beautiful reciprocal and obvious result being in harmony with God. So your barns burst. Full stop. But don't, dear friends, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. I said last week, God doesn't punish us here on this earth. Punishment is an event, but here and now, he disciplines us, chastises, and it feels like punishment. But you know what's really happening? We're punishing ourselves by getting it wrong. He will challenge us. He will cause us to go through difficult situations where we feel ripped off and deprived. And as Paul said, I'm hungry and naked and persecuted. That's not fair. Paul didn't say that wasn't fair. He said, yeah, that's life. That's tough. That wasn't God. Do you think that was God punishing him? I doubt it. I doubt it very much, but he was being trained. He said, I've learned to be content. Hello, Lord. Thank you. In all things, whether I'm abound or I'm abased, he said. I mean, that's the discipline of the world. When we learn more of God's ways, this is what I'd like us to know. We learn not to resist the challenges that God brings into our daily lives. Did you have any last week? That tend to put us into emotional reactions of anxiety and fear and vexation. Nothing like that has happened probably to anybody in this room. All right. Now, that's a challenge. God brings it into your life. Why don't you just make it easy for me, God? Well, I would like you to develop character so that you can have peace in your soul, so that you will make right life decisions and get all the blessings. Everything I've just said, all right, I won't go over it all again. Now, Peter, the apostle, had to learn to have not so many not-so-lords in his life. Some of the ladies did a Bible study through the week on Acts chapter 10, where Peter was prompted by the Holy Spirit and spoken to while he was sitting, meditating in a trance on his rooftop, or on Simon the tanner's rooftop, to go and preach to the Gentiles. Peter was well versed in what was right and what was wrong in the ecclesiastical and theological world. And God had said to him, "You in the vision lowered a sheet with all of these unclean animals." There weren't the things that Jews were allowed to eat. Gentiles could eat anything they liked. Jews were warned in the book of Leviticus about these things, etc. It was wrong to do it. They were lowered down and God said, "Take up and eat," talking about mix with the Gentiles. And Peter said, "Not so, Lord." The words "not so" should never be followed by "Lord." Right. And the word "Lord" should not have a "not so" after it. It is, "Okay, Lord, I don't get this, but if that's what you want." So he went. Also in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "I will put upon the cross, die, be crucified, and after 3 days I'll be raised up again." Peter said, "Not so, Lord. Get behind me, Satan." Jesus says to the disciples, "I will be taken as a prisoner." And he said, "You will flee and run away." And he said to Peter, "And Satan will try and get you, and you will deny me 3 times. "Not so, Lord." There's 3 not-sos. Now look, we've just got to learn to get rid of the not-so-lords in our lives. Things happen. Tough things. Take them on board. Get the healing of your soul. If you want to dig yourself down into not-so, vexation, "This shouldn't be happening, it's your fault," whatever, whatever, rather than in everything being able to give thanks, well, then it's not good for your mind, not good for your emotions, but unfortunately, and eventually, it means your decisions are not going to be on track. You're going to come from the wrong place. You're going to make jerky decisions. You'll end up hurting yourself and harming others. Now, I'm going to jump to the bottom. See, there's a heading down there called "We are empowered to defeat the powers of darkness from above." I'm leaping over the next little section. I'll come back to it. But we're just going to say, we are empowered to defeat the powers of darkness from above. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, this is still about empowerment, getting it done God's way. But in the Old Testament, there was a different kind of terms of engagement with the enemy. Daniel was praying to God, and an angel came and said to him, "Do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words. But the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the spirit kings of Persia." Now that was spiritual warfare in the heavens. You think, well, that's what we've got to do. No, we don't do warfare like that. Terms of engagement have changed. What I'm talking about today is the heading of empowerment from above. We don't fight warfare up through the heavens from the earth. We are seated with him in heavenly places. In Ephesians it says all things are under his feet. It says it in Hebrews, and it says, and all things are under his feet, and the empowerment of God is through the church. Oh, let me read it to you. Ephesians 1:19. Paul says, I want you to know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. There is no power that has any legal right over you and can stop you from anything, depending on where you're coming from. If you're coming from the earth, you will be shaky about it. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You're being empowered from above. Your spiritual warfare is looking down upon the powers of darkness, not up and trying to get through them. Okay? So don't struggle. They're under your feet. But they work deceptively, and they try and get your mind, try and stop you from trusting in your position in Christ, who you are, where you are, what kind of a being you are, a spiritual being, which has authority over all powers. Jesus died on the cross, said, it is finished. Now we're going to do it from up there. If you can use the word up there, it's like a geographical thing, but it's simply a position. If you look up, you're not going to see it really. You'll see the clouds. But it is that spiritual home, the headquarters, the third heaven, if you like, where Paul went to and said, wow, I saw things that it's not legal for me to talk about, not lawful to talk about them. But he could see the position that God had for his children. So be encouraged that you're empowered from above, just to speak to the enemy and he's got to flee. Now I'll come to that bit that I've just leapfrogged. The way of empowerment. Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. I know that the word in the King James Bible and probably your version says who strengthens me. That's a good word. But the actual Greek word is endynamo, which means dynamic. It means power. It means authority. I can do all things through Christ who authorizes, empowers me to do the things that I want to do through you. From above. Well, how do we get to above? What sort of mindset, what sort of soul set, what sort of will set do we need to live from above? Well, what I'd like to know is how does God act? What's his ways? What's the way? If we learn the way, we will go in the way. We'll live in the way and things will work in our lives. I'll tell you, they will work. There'll be challenges. But you will have this sense of assurance that, well, this looks tough, but God's working it for good because he's with me and I know his way. I'm going to do it his way. And I'm just going to sit back and wait with an expectation and a hope of something above and beyond what I could ask or think to happen. Now, that's the way to live. Otherwise, you will get yourself into adding on all kinds of ways to get this done or that done. Now, do what God says, get in his lane, And this is it, Jeremiah 9, verse 24. It says it in 1 Corinthians as well. It says, if any man would glory, let him glory in this, that he knows me and my ways. Jeremiah, but it comes from Jeremiah 9, 24, and it says, I am God, and I act in loyal love. I do what's right and set things right and fair and delight in those who do the same things. You want empowerment? If you want to get into that groove there, if you want to say, Lord, I'm going to get my mind into this and accept that as truth. I'm going to surrender that. And I'm going to surrender my feelings of complaining about the stuff that's happening in my life and what's in my face and everything else. And I'm going to say, well, Lord, you're empowering me here because I can recognize your greatness. I just worshipped you this morning. I worshipped you. It can be every day of the week. I worshipped you. And it helped me to see how much I could trust you. Now it's well with my soul. Now I feel empowered I can actually choose something along the lines of what you would like to do now, Lord. See, now that's how the will kicks in. And so you tell your soul, be still and know that he is God. And you look at this. God says, I do what's right. So that's, I act in loyal love. I do what's right. I set things right and fair. In the King James Version, it says, I am the God who exercises loving kindness and uprightness and justice in the earth. Saying, if you want to be empowered, then ask for grace from me to do what is the loving kindness thing, what is the upright thing that's got the integrity, and what is the just and fair thing. And my Holy Spirit will bear witness to that and say, you're on the radar. I just saw you come up on God's ways. I'm going to empower that. Here comes some grace. And the heart gets changed. And the things that are done are effective. And you feel right about it. You feel good about it. You are learning Christ. Moses said, show me your ways, O Lord. It says in Psalm 103 that Israel saw the acts of God, but Moses saw the ways of God. You can see a lot of the acts of God, but they don't transform you. It's sort of spectator stuff. But if you want to know the ways of God, you seek to be empowered from above by the things that the Holy Spirit can empower. He can only empower what are the ways of God in any given situation. That's why we have a great God, and that's why we learn to surrender to him and have a high hope and expectation that if we get the way right in our hearts, Bible says, examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. Am I thinking right? Or am I thinking I'm a loser, this is not going to work? Or am I thinking I'm in a place with Jesus here? How am I feeling? Feeling upset, angry, anxious? Well, you've said to me, don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, bring your needs towards God with thanksgiving, etc. You see, the simple things we do, coming to church and praising God and worshipping, sets things right in order for good decisions to be made. Unbelievers could look on and say, look at these Christians. They do weird things. They pray. What good does that do? And they sing songs. What good? And they listen to sermon. What are they doing? Why don't they just get about and make things happen? And tell you what, I'm so glad that there are billions of Christians all over the world praying. I don't know what they're praying. Their prayers can be off the mark, on the mark, I don't know. But they're getting before God and saying, will you please help me, Lord? That's pretty close. It's lovely that we've got that. And we do it with a humble and contrite heart. I'm coming to you, Lord, I'm praying. I want to get my ways right. I want to be in line with you. And he says, you're on your way, child, to seeing great decisions, to seeing my empowerment in your life, to do things that would never have happened unless you'd have been drawn into that. You're blessed today to have a great God that wants to be with you in everything you do. And we're going to have communion now. And I thank you, Lord, for giving us a yielded heart to say thank you and be empowered in Jesus' name. Amen.